Okay, everyone, we can go ahead and get started. Again, thank you for attending. Today we are going to discuss opportunities in STEM for the U.S. Fulbright Scholar Program. My name is Kimberly Williams, and I am an Outreach and Recruitment Officer at IIE, and I'm based in the Washington, D.C. office. So before we really get into the bulk of our presentation today, I just wanted to take a few minutes to briefly discuss our mission and history. Established in 1946 by Congress, the Fulbright Program is in partnership with 160 countries. We offer a variety of teaching opportunities and research opportunities for faculty, administrators, artists, journalists, lawyers, and other professionals. And I really want to spend some time to focus on our mission. Our mission is to foster mutual understanding between nations, advance knowledge across communities, and improve the lives of others around the world. It's important for me to notate that Fulbright is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State, with funding provided by the U.S. government, and the program is administered by the staff at IIE. Diversity and inclusion is at the forefront of our mission. We encourage all to apply for Fulbright. We are actively recruiting individuals from a variety of institutions to include minority serving, community colleges, and institutions in rural areas. Fulbright by the numbers. As you can see, we have a vast number of awards because you are interested in our U.S. Scholar Program. We fund about 800 awards annually, and the great thing about Fulbright is once you become a Fulbrighter, you become a part of a vast network of approximately 390,000 Fulbrighters globally. Distribution of awards. I'd like to notate that this distribution ranges each year. It depends on the types of activities that are available. As you can see, we offer teaching and research, research or teaching only. We offer a wide variety of postdoc opportunities, and we have a seminar that's available for administrators within the field of higher education. Eligibility for the program. So eligibility does vary depending on the particular award that you are applying to, but some of the general requirements are that U.S. citizenship is required. We will do a walkthrough of the catalog, and you can see what some of the degree and experience requirements are for the various awards. I do want to speak a little bit about those that have received prior Fulbright awards. You are eligible to apply again, but you would just need to indicate a justification how receiving another Fulbright would be relevant and pertinent to the work that you're currently doing. So within the STEM field, we offer a variety of awards throughout all of our regions, but I wanted to take a little bit of time to highlight some of the awards. So for Western Hemisphere, Mexico, for example, we offer the Fulbright Garcia Robles Science and Technology Award. Scholars may conduct research and or teach in the area of their specialization within the STEM field. The grant length is 3 to 9 months, and intermediate Spanish language proficiency is required. Again, later on in the presentation, we will do a very detailed walkthrough of the catalog. You're able to see what the language proficiencies are. I will go through the different tabs and explain what each field is. Also within Western Hemisphere, we have the Science, Technology, and Education Award in Panama. Again, there's the opportunity to conduct research and or teach in the topic of your interest within the STEM field, of course. The grant length is 4 to 9 months, and intermediate Spanish language proficiency is recommended. Okay, so some of the regional highlights for Europe. We offer an award to Austria. And with these awards, they become a little more specific. Scholars may conduct research and teaching in the disciplines of economics or environmental sciences. And with this particular award, there is a specific affiliation with the University of Applied Sciences in Krems. Some of our awards do have institutions that are listed for affiliation. Other awards, you do have the option of choosing from a list that's provided. In Georgia, we have opportunities in STEM. Scholars may conduct research and or teach in the disciplines of biology, chemistry, computer sciences, engineering, and a host of other disciplines. The grant length is 4 to 9 months. I'd like to highlight some awards for South and Central Asia. As you can see with Bhutan, we have the opportunity to teach in a variety of disciplines such as computer science, economics, environmental sciences, and you'll see the grant length is 10 months. Something I'd like to draw your attention to is a letter of invitation should not be sought, and we will go into greater detail on what a letter of invitation is, how do you obtain one, what should be in the letter of invitation. But for this particular award, a letter of invitation is not required. To Tajikistan, multiple disciplines are sought. You can conduct research and or teaching in the disciplines of biology, computer sciences, economics, engineering, and the grant length for this award is 4 to 9 months. And again, we'll go into more detail, but the flex option is available, and flex option is for scholars seeking to conduct research. It's the option to conduct it in specific time frames, flexible time frames, but we'll talk a little more in detail shortly about what the flex option is and what awards have this option available. East Asia and the Pacific. For Australia, this is another example of an award with a specific affiliation with an institution. There is an affiliation with the University of Canberra. Scholars can conduct research in the disciplines of biology, chemistry, computer science, and a host of other STEM disciplines. The grant length is 3 to 4 months. As I stated, the affiliation is with the University of Canberra. At Taiwan, there is an arts, education, humanities, a couple of other disciplines outside of STEM, but for those in STEM, you have the option of conducting research and or teaching in economics, environmental sciences, or geology. The grant length for this award is 5 to 10 months. And something else to notate, with the awards, the grant length will be listed if there is a preference, let's say, of 10 months rather than maybe 5. It will be indicated in the award. Something special to note about this award is that Fulbright scholars in the EAP region have the opportunity to apply for funds to support short-term travel to other countries in the region. You can conduct activities such as lectures, workshops, seminars, or master classes, so that's something pretty interesting for this particular region. Some of the regional highlights for the Middle East and North Africa. With Egypt, scholars are able to conduct research and are teaching in the disciplines of computer science, engineering, information sciences. The grant length is 6 to 10 months. And this is also an award that provides you with various options in terms of your affiliations. You have a choice of 26 universities or technical universities within higher ed, so it does give you the option to choose from different institutions. Qatar, there's the postdoc fellowship. I know I receive a lot of questions from prospective applicants about, you know, whether or not there are postdoc opportunities, and we certainly have many postdoc opportunities throughout our different regions. For this particular award, scholars will conduct water security research, and so there is a specific affiliation listed. The grant length for this particular award is 4 to 12 months, so based on the awards that you've seen thus far, you can see that the grant length vary greatly depending on the award. Some are, 3 months. At max, you see that some are 12. And this is also an example of an award where there's a preference being stated. So while there is a possibility for 4 to 12 months, 12 months is preferred. And Sub-Saharan Africa, some of our regional highlights include our South Africa Science and Technology Award. Scholars can conduct research and or teaching in the disciplines of biology, chemistry, computer science. The grant length for this particular award is 3 to 9 months, and affiliation is appropriate with any institution or university. One thing about this award and other awards is, as I said, some awards will list specific institutions that you have the option of affiliations. Others, like this, will leave it broad where affiliation is open to any appropriate university or research institution. In Zambia, multiple disciplines are sought within STEM at Copperbelt University. So some of those disciplines include computer science, economics, engineering. As I said, the affiliation is with Copperbelt, and the grant length is 10 months. So at this time, I wanted to spend the bulk of the presentation going through our website. There are very many layers. If you do have questions, feel free to type them in the chat box. Once the website tour has ended, I'm happy to answer any of your questions or go over anything that may be not clear. So if you can give me one moment to shift to the website. Okay. This is our homepage, CIES.org. So for starters, we are going to go to our catalog. So as you can see here, I'm going to browse the awards catalog. So a couple of things here. You can browse the catalog different ways. You can search by region, you can search by country, or you can select the discipline. So let's start with, let's say, Africa Sub-Saharan, and this will get us to our catalog. And on the left-hand side, as you can see, we have the option of filtering out the catalog as we wish. And so just to show you how it works, I am going to add East Asia and the Pacific as well. Under discipline, I have the option to select any discipline. So for the purpose of this, I'm going to select maybe biology, chemistry, and maybe engineering. I also have the option of filtering out the specific interests that I'm interested in. It can be research, teaching, seminar, teaching and research. So I'm going to just leave it as is for now. You also have the option of selecting your grant length, so you can do the flex option, which we will talk about shortly. You can sort through any other options. I'm going to leave it blank for this at this point. And degree requirement, you have the option of filtering out whether a PhD or terminal degree is required or not. We have the candidate profile, which is very important, but we can go into what it looks like within a specific award. You have your distinguished chair, professionals, academics, etc. And finally, we have our letter of invitation. You can search for awards that are requiring letters of invitation or awards that it may be optional. So at this point, I'm going to search the awards that I filtered out. So as you can see, 23 awards were found. I am going to, let's see, we've discussed this award, University of Canberra, so I'm going to select this one. So as you can see, here's the title and award number that you will need to reference in your application. Here's the tab for you to begin the application process. But I wanted to spend some time to go through the different tabs of the award. So let's start with award details. The grant activity gives you an overview of what you will be responsible for doing. As you can see, this is a research award according to the activity. So this gives me a little bit more information about what exactly I would be doing within research. Right here is the grant length, as we discussed, is 3 to 4 months. Grant dates are going to vary, of course, per award. For this particular award, grants must begin January to February 2022, in line with the Australian academic year. So this is something to pay very close attention to as the academic years for each country vary. So you want to be in tune with when the academic year begins for the country that you're interested in so that you can correlate the start of your grant. Locations, this gives information about the location. If you click on the link, it will give you more information about the university itself. The flex option is not available. And this is a list of discipline types. As you can see, there are several disciplines within STEM that are offered. And while these are the disciplines that the award is open to, this is the section where if there's a special area of interest, it will be indicated. And as you can see, it states the University of Canberra. Canberra seeks applicants in the following areas: environment, governance, health, sport. So these are areas where there is a specialized interest. And under here is what I spoke about, the East Asia Pacific Regional Travel Program. Again, you have the option to apply for funds to do short-term travel within the region. So if this is an area that you are interested in, I highly encourage you to take advantage of this program. While I'm still here, I want to draw your attention to the right-hand side. As you can see, our application deadline for all of our awards is going to be Tuesday, September 15th of this year. The activity for your grant will always be listed here: degree requirements, PhD, or other terminal degree required, candidate profile. So this specifies what type of candidate they are seeking, so it's open to academics except for early career. Let's just say you were an early career applicant. You have the option of going back to our catalog and filtering it out for early career to find awards that best suit your experience. And another important aspect of this page is going to be the program staff person that's listed. So this is always going to be your point of contact in the award, the individual that's listed under program staff. You have the option of emailing here. You also have the option of calling directly. When you do email, there will be an automatic reply that you receive. We do set up 15 to 20 minute appointments via Calendly, so you have the option of clicking on the link and setting an appointment according to the staff, the program staff's schedule. So that's something I encourage you to take advantage of, to go ahead and set an appointment. Do send over your CV and any maybe specific questions over to this email address. So this takes us back to the top of the page, award requirements. So here you'll see a letter of invitation is required. And once we're done doing the overview, I'm going to go into more detail about what the letter of invitation is, how do you go about obtaining one. In this particular case, not every award is like this, but in this particular case, the award does list the contact person. So this lists Adrian McKenzie at the Research and Innovation Office as a point of contact to discuss projects and obtain the required letter. So this makes the process a lot easier. You would click the link, get Adrian's email address, and proceed to email about the letter of invitation. Here you'll see any language proficiency requirements. If there is a language proficiency requirement, further information will be required in terms of any documentation or anything that must accompany your application regarding your language proficiency. And these sections are usually reserved for any additional information regarding qualifications. In this particular case, it states that it's open to senior academics at the level of associate or full professor by the grant start date. So it's very important to read every tab within the award, just because it does give very valuable information. Under here, it gives you other interesting information about the university itself, and it gives you a little bit of guidance about your project statement. Again, in this case, it indicates applicants must clearly include in their project statement a brief half-page personal statement to share their story, the trajectory they have followed, and their plans for the future. So it's really important, as I said, to read through each tab, because sometimes it may be difficult to capture this information on other pages within the website. Okay, our next tab is going to be our stipend and benefits. So this is the section that will include what the stipend range will be, if there are any benefits for dependents. This will be listed here. Each award is different, but many awards do offer dependent benefits, and the amount will range, but in this case, there is a benefit for dependents. Underneath, you'll see any type of estimated travel or relocation allowances, as well as special award benefits. So this goes into a little more detail about health care. And finally, on our country and area overview page, this just gives an overview of anything pertinent to the award itself or the program. In this case, it states that the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program to Australia offers approximately 30 research grants. And underneath, it just gives you a brief overview of the country itself or the institution itself. And it may even provide some additional contacts via email that you have the option to reach out to. So that is what a full award looks like. I'm going to go back. And because every award looks different, I do want to go to another award. So we just looked at something that included research. Let's take a look at an award that includes teaching and research. So this particular award offers teaching and research, and as you can see, based on the language in the grant activity section, each award contains different information. So for this particular award, it goes into a little more detail about what some of the teaching expectations are. As you can see, teaching undergrad and grad courses. There is a level of providing tutorials, supervising student projects, et cetera. So each grant activity may differ. The grant length in this one is a little longer, 10 months. And as you can see, it gives you a more open grant date opposed to the other one. So September 2021 until June, July of 2022. And again, you have the option of filtering out how long you seek to go on an award. Here's another example of specific institutions being listed in terms of locations that you can affiliate with. So again, pretty much the same information. However, special features, again, this is why it's great to read through the award in its entirety. This particular award offers furnished housing provided by the host institution. Not every host institution will offer housing, but in this particular case, this one does. And unfortunately, there's not a way to filter out which institutions offer benefits such as this. But it's great to know that there is an option for housing. Again, it gives similar information in this award. With the language proficiency, it's slightly different since the language proficiency for the award for Australia obviously was English. This one is English, however, it has additional information, and it states teaching will be in English. However, some French proficiency is useful for daily living. So if there are any proficiency requirements, or even if it's optional, it will be listed here. And I'd like to say that most of our awards do capture a contact within an institution. So please utilize these contacts if you have questions. Let's say, for example, you were interested in maybe research into some aspect of robotics and you wanted to know if there was an interest. It's great to reach out via email to the contacts provided just to ask questions regarding whether or not maybe your research is needed or if there is an interest at this time. Many applicants will send their CVs over and a brief description of their research interests. And stipend and benefit pretty much follow the same format in every award. However, the amounts are different. As you can see for this one, it includes a little bit more information. It includes information about travel allowances. In this particular case, there is a research allowance, an estimated book and research allowance. And in this case, there's also a very generous tuition allowance up to $12,500 per child or $25,000 per family. In addition, there's more information about award benefits. And the same for the country and area overview. We give general information about career-wise, what they are seeking. So as you can see, scholars with a PhD and minimum rank of assistant professor are preferred. So that concludes our walkthrough of the catalog for now. I'm going to actually go back to our homepage, CIES.org. There are a ton of other helpful resources on this page. So I'm going to start here with Explore the U.S. Scholar Program. And this is where a nice size portion of valuable information is found. So this just gives you an overview of the Scholar Program. Again, if you were coming into our website from this page, you would click here to view our awards catalog. Here you'll find information about building your application. You can click here for the application. And here's just another gentle reminder that the deadline is September 15th. And here you'll find everything you need to know about eligibility. So it goes into a little more detail about what's required in terms of citizenship. We often get questions about individuals that have lived abroad. There's a portion here for you to read up on more information about living abroad. So because this is a question that I'm sure will be asked, I did want to just read this. So it says that candidates who have resided abroad for 5 or more consecutive years in the 6-year period preceding the date of application are ineligible. Often we do get questions pertaining to this. But here's other essential information that you may find helpful that you can read at your leisure. Here's questions about degree requirements and more detailed information about prior Fulbright grantees. So this takes you to the application. But before you actually start the application, I do encourage everyone to register for My Fulbright. Here's the link here, so I'm going to click that. So this takes you to the My Fulbright page, and you would click here to register. And this is a great tool because it provides applicants with information about our scholar program, the different opportunities, and you're notified of any type of program updates, webinar schedules, and other helpful resources. We do offer a wide variety of webinars, and if you are not able to attend our live webinars, they are recorded, and you are able to view them at a later date. Okay, so back to application. So some other helpful resources, the eligibility and application checklist. And this is just a rundown of what the eligibility is, award requirements, just ensuring that you meet them, application components, and it goes into great detail with page requirements and things of that nature. If you're teaching, you're required to upload 2 to 3 syllabi. So I do encourage you to take a look at this and print it out. Again, if there is a language proficiency, you will have to register with a qualified language evaluator. So if we go back, okay. This shows the different aspects of your application. So you have your project statement, your CV or resume, your recommendation letters, portfolio for applicable professionals. But I do want to touch bases on the recommendation letters. Something new this year is that we are no longer requiring 3 letters of recommendation. We are only requiring 2. And this is dependent upon the project, well, the grant activity you are interested in, whether it's research, teaching, or a combination. So what it looks like is it's just the requirements for the grant activity. And in this particular case, it's the requirements for teaching. And it goes into further detail about the requirements for your syllabi and your course outlines. Review criteria. So this is often asked, what is the application being, what is the criteria for the applications when it comes to the review process? You can see here what some of the review criteria are. Project statements, this is very critical, very important for you to go over, and it breaks it down into teaching and research. So it goes over aspects such as your project's potential impact, outcomes and benefits, personal qualities, whether or not you've had a prior Fulbright award. These are all aspects that are being looked at in regard to your application and materials. And timeline. I'll touch on timeline shortly once we go back to the PowerPoint. And if you were maybe unsure with which region you were interested in, you have the option of browsing award highlights based on discipline or region. And here's another great point of another great resource is just frequently asked questions. So if I'm going back home, there are a few more things that I would like to show you. This is our Fulbright Scholar Directory. So I was just on our homepage. I just want to show you one more time. I was on our homepage, and right here is access to our Fulbright Scholar Directory. So here you have the opportunity to view Fulbright Scholar grantees for the past 10 years, and you can use this information in a variety of ways. So I'm just going to show you how to use it. You will be looking for U.S. scholars. We can click on advanced filters. So here you have the option of sorting through program country, home institution, host institution. So for the purpose of this exercise, let's take a look at awards in Australia. So here you can see some of the host institutions for the last 10 years and the year the host institution hosted one of our scholars. And you can also see the name of the scholar's discipline, and specialization. So this is very valuable information to have. A lot of times our applicants will reach out to the scholars and ask specific questions. So while we don't provide their personal contact information. So here you can see for LaShonda Adams, it has her title, discipline, department, home institution, and her host institution. And so this gives you a little bit more information about her grant information, the institution that she affiliated with, and what her project title was. While we don't give out personal information, you're able to easily use this information in Google or maybe LinkedIn to reach out. So the directory is a very helpful tool. So I'm going to go back to the homepage. And I wanted to conclude our PowerPoint. I wanted to talk briefly about our application cycle. So as you all know, our awards catalog is open. September 15th of this year is our application deadline. So just to give you a little idea of what happens after the deadline, after the deadline in September, our program staff conducts a technical review for completeness. That just means that we check to see if your syllabi are uploaded, letters of recommendation are there. From October until November, we conduct our U.S. peer review, and that's held in our Washington, D.C. offices, where there is a selection panel that reviews your application, and more than likely it's discipline related. So you're having experts within your discipline review your application and materials. From November until January, being January of 2021, applicants are notified of their status. Recommended applications are sent to host countries and the J. William Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board. From January 2021 until April 2021, grantees are notified of final approvals. And finally, May till onward, grantees prepare for their grants. So again, just a reminder of some ways to keep in contact with us. You can join my Fulbright here, CIES2.org. You can email general questions to scholars@iie.org. However, I do encourage you, if there is a specific award of interest, to utilize the program contact that's listed in the award, as they will have the most updated information on the award and can best advise you. And just some of our social media platforms. And at this time, I am opening up for questions. So again, if you do have some questions, please feel free to type them in the chat box. So I'm going to take a few minutes to okay, so for our first question, we are being asked, what is considered early career? So early career will be considered within the first 5 years within your career after completing your terminal degree. And so although this is a STEM webinar, we sometimes get questions of what is considered a terminal degree outside of a PhD. So it could be a law degree, it could be an MFA degree. It all depends on what your specific field is. So if you do have questions on whether or not your degree is considered a terminal degree, I do encourage you to reach out to the program contact that's listed in the award. Okay, so just a couple of other questions we have. Okay. So what is the website for searching Fulbright programs? So I'm going to exit out of this screen and go back to our website. So our website has very many layers, but our homepage is going to be CIES.org, and from there you can browse the catalog of awards, and you may sort through by discipline, by region, or country. Okay, Another question is about STEM opportunities for those that do not have terminal degrees or who are currently students. So we do have a great student program. Our student program, the Fulbright student program, actually the awards go live, I believe, at the first of the month. So that is an option for those who do not have terminal degrees or who are currently active students. So I do encourage you to take a look at the student program. In addition, they also have webinars with very valuable information that could answer some of your questions. Okay. Let's see. Okay, and we have questions. May I apply for more than one award? So applicants are only able to apply for one award. So I do encourage you to take a look at the catalog, set up a one-on-one appointment with your program contact. The best practice is to, as I stated, you can set up the meeting in Calendly. Our meetings are typically 15 to 20 minutes. You'll be able to see your program contact. I do encourage you to email your program contact your CV and any specific questions about specific awards that you're interested in, or if there's not a specific award, you can ask what are their recommendations based on the activity that you're interested in. Okay. Again, another question is, can you apply for multiple Fulbrights at the same time? So unfortunately, no. You can only apply for one of the specified awards in the catalog at once. Okay. And again, I'm sorry if some of my answers are repetitive. I just see some of the same questions. So again, we have a wonderful Fulbright student program that's open for even PhD students or master's level students. So I do encourage you to take a look at the Fulbright student program. Okay, and we have some questions about the letter of invitation. And that is one thing that I did not go over yet. So I'm going back to our homepage. And I am actually going to our frequently asked questions. And this gives you more insight into the letters of invitation. So my advice is, if the award says that a letter of invitation is optional, I encourage applicants to do everything in their power to seek the letter if possible. Some awards do specifically state that a letter of invitation is not to be sought. In that case, then it shouldn't be sought. A letter of invitation should not be sought out to attach to your application at all. But here's some information on how to go about getting a letter of invitation. For some awards, as we saw for Australia, they will list a specific contact for you to reach out to obtain a letter. In other cases, there's no information listed. In that case, applicants will reach out to directors, deans, faculty within certain departments within institutions that they're interested in to express their interest. They will upload their CV and just a brief description of what they're hoping to do. And this just gives you a little bit more information of how to do it. If you don't have a contact, your goal is to determine the name of an appropriate faculty member for a specific discipline. A lot of our applicants utilize LinkedIn. That's a great point of reference to locate individuals within specific departments. So I do encourage you to take a look at the FAQs, as it does contain a lot of valuable information. Okay, I'm going to go back to the questions. Okay, why were certain awards highlighted at the beginning? So I wanted to do an overview. It's hard to capture every award within STEM, within the regions, but I wanted to do capture a variety of different awards within the STEM field. There there isn't preference for any of the awards that were featured. It just gives you a wide variety of some of your options being in the STEM field, of some of the activities that you can engage in. Some are research only, some are teaching and research, and some are teaching only. So it just gives you a wide variety of grants in the different regions and the different activities that you can engage in. Okay, let's see. Okay, a couple of other questions about start date. Are you able to change the start date of a proposed grant? Well, it really all depends. So the grant dates align with the academic schedule of your host institution. So some of the questions that we get often are, because most faculty have a little more flexibility in summer, can you start your grant in summer? So if the academic calendar doesn't start until October, then it's a little difficult to provide rationale why you should be able to start in, let's say, June or July. So a great rule of thumb is whatever the dates are listed within the award, it's best to plan around those dates, because it's centered around the academic calendar of the institution. Okay, going to go to another question. Let's see. One second, please. So there's a question about the academic calendar. Let's see. Is your award catalog complete? So the catalog that we just saw, which you can again find here, this features all of our active awards for 2021-22. So again, you can select the region to sort by, or you can go through the different countries, or you can sort by discipline, but this contains all of our awards, so there will be no new awards added. So this is the catalog in its entirety. Thank you. Let's see, what other questions I am receiving. So I'm getting a couple of specific questions about proposed research. While these are great questions, I do encourage you to reach out to your specific program contact, just because your program contact is going to be an expert within your region. So if you have specific questions about awards in Australia or, let's say, Ghana, your program contact is going to be able to give you all of the answers and, even be a point of reference. Let's say you have some questions about specific institutions that are listed in the award, your program contact is going to be the best person to answer. I'm also seeing a question, if an institution is not listed in the award, does it mean that you cannot affiliate? It does not mean that. If there's an institution, let's say, that you have an ongoing relationship with, let's say that you're currently engaged in research with, but you see that the institution is not listed in the award, this is an opportunity for you to reach out to your program contact and explain that you have an ongoing relationship with this university and you were hoping to affiliate with them. I do encourage you to reach out to the contact, your program contact, and send your CV and just send a brief description of the nature of your relationship with the institution that you're proposing, as well as the name, maybe a contact. That way the program staff person can reach out to program management and see if they can get approval for you to perhaps affiliate with that institution. It's not guaranteed, but it's a possibility. So that is definitely something you will want to email your program contact or set up the one-on-one to discuss with your program contact here at IIE. Again, some reoccurring questions. How do I search for awards? You can either search here at awards.ciees.org, or you can go to our homepage, CIES.org. Not only can you browse the award catalog, but you can connect with Fulbright, you can view the scholar directory, you can also view our previous webinars. Okay, just a couple more questions since we are quickly approaching the 3 o'clock hour. Okay. So the remainder of our questions look to be very specific to what you're seeking to do. So again, I do encourage you to reach out to your program contact. I actually work with scholars that are interested in Sub-Saharan Africa. So if you happen to be interested in Sub-Saharan Africa, you will see my contact information on all awards. Regardless of the discipline, I am the program contact for that region and several countries within Eurasia, so feel free to reach out to me. I did not provide my email at the beginning, but if you have any questions regarding Sub-Saharan Africa, there are a number of countries that I work in with for Eurasia, please feel free to reach out. My email address is going to be kwilliams, W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S, at IIE.org. And just a reminder, you can always go back to this webinar. It is recorded. We do need about 24 to 48 hours before it is uploaded on our website. So I do encourage you to take a look back at it if you have questions, or you can reach out to us directly. Also, if you have any other colleagues that may be interested in STEM opportunities with Fulbright, please do share with them. Other than that, thank you so much for joining me today, and I look forward to answering any questions that you may have. Thank you. Enjoy your day.